Hello, Houston. Live from the KPFT studios, it's the Houston Hour with Houston historian and TV's Mr. McKinney and Heidi Vaughn of Heidi Vaughn Fine Art. Now, sit back and relax as we bring you an hour of all things arts, entertainment, history, and Houston happenings. Here's Mr. McKinney.
Houston, it is Friday, October 6th. Mr. McKinney here, coming to the KPFT airwaves. My awesome co-host, Heidi Vaughn with Heidi Vaughn Fine Arts. Say hello, Heidi.
Hi, Houston. Hi, Mr. McKinney.
Well, I am thrilled and I'm excited because we had J.D. Doyle on the show with us a couple months back in June, and we just had him on the live show over at the Heritage Society, which is live in the Heritage Society with Mr. McKinney. This is available on YouTube and also on Mr. McKinney's Historic Houston's Facebook page. Folks, remember that interview that we did a while back? J.D. Doyle runs the J.D. Doyle Archives at jddoylearchives.org, and he's got a brand new book that he talked about, 1981, My Gay American Road Trip, A Slice of Our Pre-AIDS Culture, is available on Amazon. Actually, you mentioned Heidi's doing really well.
I love watching him succeed, and I see him on social media. It looks like the book is really very well received, and it delights me.
Yeah, and why are we talking about this? Because October is not only Hispanic Heritage Month, it's not only Italian Heritage Month, it also happens to be LGBT History Month. And October was selected for this month because it coincides with National Coming Out Day, which is on October 11th, and because it's the month of the first March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights back in 1979. And we've got with us a great program, two individuals active in the LGBTQ+ community with important projects that, you know, really make a difference on the political side and also on the history side. So we're looking forward to that.
Thank you, Mr. McKinney. Well, it is a real honor to introduce our first guest today. Austin Davis Ruiz is the president of the Houston LGBTQ+ Political Caucus. Austin, welcome to the Houston Hour.
Thank you so much for having me, Heidi. I'm excited to be here.
So you guys already know each other?
Yeah, he's a force in the community, especially when it comes to voting rights and just getting involved with the county through his role with Precinct 4, Leslie Briones' office too. Really exciting things that they're doing over there. She happens to be my Precinct 4 commissioner. That's the area that I live in. You definitely see Austin out and about and around doing great things through the work also with the Montrose Center, which is a role that he took from here to there. And then he just got a great opportunity working for the county, one that he couldn't resist, and doing great things with the county. At his heart, it's always been about community and really making sure that voices are heard for those. So tell listeners about the caucus. We are now entering the month of October. We like to let people know, and we've got a great guest coming on afterwards. A buddy of yours, actually, Sarah Fernandez, will be on shortly, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, she adores you, and so does J.D. Doyle. J.D. Doyle is actually the one. He was like, you got to get these folks on the show because they've got so much great knowledge, and they're doing good things in the community. So when J.D. Doyle says do something, we were like, great recommendation. We're on board and on it. When we talk about different months and things that are going on, we look at October and we don't think about LGBTQ+ History Month, but it actually is. And it's been that way for a while.
Right.
And the caucus is embedded in the history of the community. Tell listeners how far back the caucus goes.
So the caucus was originally founded in 1975 as the Gay Political Caucus. And really, it has had such a hand in a lot of Houston's LGBTQ history. A lot of the early organizers of the caucus led other key groups and organizations in Houston. The Pride Committee, for example, which is now Pride Houston, one of the largest Pride celebrations in the country. They were the people that organized Town Meeting 1, which was also one of the really critical focal points for the community in Houston, which led to formation of organizations like the Montrose Center, Legacy Community Health, the first iteration of the LGBT Chamber of Commerce, the Executive Professional Association of Houston. So really, the caucus and its early leaders have had such an impact in terms of really making sure that LGBTQ Houston is moving forward and is really just fighting at the end of the day for us to have the same rights as everybody else.
Well, it's real important that you're doing that. I love to see, I mean, to me, you look like you're pretty young. We need people who are coming in roles of leadership like that. I think you seem to have the perfect personality for this kind of work, and good for you for coming forward and doing all that. Can you talk about the Montrose Center?
Yes, I can. So that was my former employer, the Montrose Center. And so I was there for about 3 years and some change. Started right before the beginning of the pandemic. So February 2020, got in, was super excited. I was doing comms and marketing for them for quite a while. And I had a really great experience working there, working with my community, working for my community to really make sure that we were delivering services to a lot of the most vulnerable Houstonians, right? Of course, with a focus on LGBTQ people, but we didn't turn anybody away that needed help services, whether that was substance use treatment or mental health services.
Oh, wait, substance use treatment, it doesn't cost anything?
So it depends. We do have, the Montrose Center, rather, I keep saying we, as if I'm still there, but the Montrose Center does have a lot of grant funds to be able to help people that don't have the ability to pay. Most of their clients, 52% of them are uninsured. Maybe they make less than $20,000 a year. 63% of their clients make less than $20,000 a year. And the majority of them are people of color. And so we're really looking at people that don't have insurance, don't have the ability to pay, and that need really critical services like substance use treatment or counseling, mental health services.
Well, I got to say, as someone who lives in Montrose, I regularly see people walking down the street, especially when I go out early, who are just super high. And I always feel so sorry for them. Like, they just probably don't know how to stop doing this. Where is the Montrose Center located?
So it's located at 401 Bernard Street, right in the heart of Montrose, right kind of behind the entrance to 59 from Midtown. So it's right there in the Montrose neighborhood. It's been around since 1978.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so it's a legacy organization here in the city. Started after Town Meeting 1, of course, but they offer so many services to the community. Again, whether that's counseling, HIV services, they now own and operate the largest LGBTQ affirming affordable senior living center in the country, the Law Harrington Senior Living Center.
I'm sorry, what's that called?
The Law Harrington Senior Living Center.
Where's that?
It's in Third Ward, so it's right on Cleburne Street at 2222 Cleburne Street, right there by Highway 288, right in the heart of Third Ward. And it's a home to 130 plus LGBTQ and Black seniors from across the Houston area, really as a safe space to be able to allow them to age with pride and with dignity in a safe and affirming environment. Because a lot of traditional senior living complexes are not affirming of LGBTQ people.
Right.
And so a lot of seniors have to go back into the closet when they're moving into a senior complex or something like that. And so the Montrose Center decided that they wanted to build a place here in Houston that was going to be accepting and affirming of all gender identities, all sexual orientations, of all people. And that is the Law Harrington Senior Living Center.
Oh, that's beautiful. I want to go back. What's Town Meeting 1?
Town Meeting 1 was an organizing of community individuals, LGBTQ individuals in Houston that happened in 1978. It was the culminating event of the first official Gay Pride Week in Houston. And really that served as a springboard to figure out what kind of social services and help the community needed. This was a time when LGBTQ people were still experiencing higher rates of discrimination. There were laws criminalizing our existence on the books. It was still thought of as a mental illness to be LGBTQ. And so we didn't have all the wonderful services and organizations and support networks that we have today back then. And so people gathered at the Astro Arena to really figure out what it was that was missing from the community. Out of that meeting, which was again organized by the caucus, there were a couple different organizations that came out of that. The first really kind of notable one is going to be Montrose Counseling Center, which is now the Montrose Center. Originally was founded to be an organization that addressed the gap for mental health for gay and lesbians in the community. Now has since grown to be a full service LGBTQ resource center for the community, offering so many different things. That was one organization. Another really major organization that came out of Town Meeting 1 was the Montrose Clinic, which is now Legacy Community Health, the largest federally qualified health center in Texas with over 40 locations across the greater Houston area.
Wow.
Servicing clients much like the center services, very low income, people that don't have insurance, are people of color, really need access to good quality health care, you know, for very cheap or for nothing, you know, depending depending on their circumstance. Those are really the two biggest organizations that came out of Town Meeting One, but again, there were some other ones. The Executive Professionals Association of Houston.
Oh, I've hosted an event for them at my gallery.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised to find out that we didn't take any pictures because some people were not, people didn't know.
Yeah.
And sort of came as a surprise to me. I hadn't thought that that might be a thing.
Yeah. Like a networking group. Why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But even today, I mean, especially in oil and gas, which is primarily kind of the demographic.
It was a lot of oil and gas guys. Yeah.
And in that demographic, a lot of people are still not out. And so they still have that fear, especially because even with the Supreme Court ruling in Bostock v. Clayton County that gave us LGBTQ protections, I mean, Texas still is an at-will employer state, right? Mm-hmm, and so you can be fired, really, for anything.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people still do carry that fear today.
How interesting. Well, it's been fascinating for me to just sort of watch the whole progression because I sort of call the 80s my heyday. And, you know, a lot changed in the 80s. We became, I think, more aware about just people who are gay in the community because of AIDS. It was a shock to see how many people we knew who got affected. And I think it made people have so much compassion because they didn't realize how many people they knew who were part of the community.
Right.
And then I feel like with the advent of gay marriage, it has sort of taken the stuffing out of being gay. You know, like, it's not so different now. It's pretty mainstream when you can do all those things, which is great that you can do all those things.
Right.
But so it's a surprise to me to find out that there are people out there who still don't feel like they're welcome someplace, or it's just... It's very surprising to me. It's sort of like where we're at right now with the transgender community. When we started talking about legislation affecting the transgender community, my attitude was like, is it really like affecting that many people? And it turns out it's really affecting a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
And I even have a transgender niece. And, you know, it is something I think we're all kind of leveling out and being cool with people. But it's been an interesting progression to watch how much it's changed since I was a young person.
Yeah. At the center, one of our cornerstone kind of key programs was our Youth Rapid Rehousing Program, which is where we would take unhoused teens or young adults from the ages of 18 to 24 who had been kicked out of their homes, possibly because of unsupported family or for whatever reason they were unhoused. And we would get them into safe, stable housing, subsidize their rent for 18 months, have them work with a case manager to get their GED or to find a job, and really to get them the resources that they needed so that way they could become self-sufficient adults and really have a second chance at life. Mm-hmm. But through that program, we realized that there is still such a need because so many kids get kicked out of their homes when they come out as LGBTQ, whether that's gay, lesbian, trans, bisexual, you know, whatever. There is still so much resistance to that idea today, which is really just sad to see in 2023.
Well, I think on a positive note, it really is changing for the better. So when Mr. McKinney told me about you coming on, and you know him, but we're just meeting today,
right.
He told me that you're an actor. And I would just like our listeners to know, because they're not sitting across from you, you got like the movie star looks. You are very handsome.
Thank you.
Very handsome guy. What do you do as an actor?
Well, I guess I should say I am a former actor and dancer. I haven't really done anything in a while, but I got bit by the performance bug when I was first in middle school, joined the theater company at Lanier. And then when I went to Lamar High School, I joined the theater company there, started to get more serious into it. And then when I got to college, I really just dove in head first and was doing acting full time, basically.
Where were you in college?
I went to Duke University, so North Carolina and Durham. And I did some wonderful musicals when I was at Duke, which I didn't really get the opportunity to do musicals too often at Lamar just because we didn't have the funding to do it every year.
But you did Wizard of Oz there, right?
We did. Yeah, we did Wizard of Oz. Yeah, we did Wizard of Oz. We did Putnam County Spelling Bee my junior year at Lamar, yeah, which was such a fun show. But yeah, so I used to act and sing, and then I also was in a dance group when I was at Duke. I was in a Latin dance group called Sabrosura, and so we mostly did salsa dancing. We also did a couple of other dances, tangos, cha-chas, sambas, all of that.
And those come in handy. You're always attending gala events. You're always in black tie affairs for different organizations, including being the president for the caucus. So
yes.
Being a good dancer always comes in handy.
Yes, it is really fun to be on the dance floor at events. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So you're not acting in things anymore.
No, unfortunately, I haven't really had the time, but I do want to be able to get back to community theater at some point to kind of reinvigorate that part of my life, just because I lived it for so long and I was dedicating so many hours to it. And then once I came back to Houston after graduating college, it was like, well, there's nothing.
Well, I think, you know, in the same way that Mr. McKinney has a solid acting background, I think you use it in what you do in your career, and you clearly have a lot of confidence, and I'm sure it comes from being on stage, and what you're doing now I think is benefited from your ability to communicate well in an entertaining, energetic kind of way. I'd love to talk about, I know you're really committed to the community, I'd love to talk about voting.
Yes.
So you're an advocate to get people to vote.
Yes, I am a registered volunteer deputy registrar, so I got that completed a couple months ago because I think, especially for people my age, for younger people, there is so much apathy about voting.
Oh, it kills me.
Right. And the thing is, this is such a sacred part of our rights and our freedoms in this country.
You know, when I was a kid, it really got instilled in me. My dad was displaced after World War II. He was from Austria and moved here and was always so grateful to be an American. And my mom and dad always talked about their political beliefs and the importance of voting. And they were election judges for years and years. Mm. And my daughter and I started a wonderful tradition together when she turned 18. She's 30 now. And we vote together all the time, like some mothers and daughters get a, you know, manicure or something. And we'll figure out when it's going to be. And we tie it in with something to make it fun.
Yeah.
I like to vote over on West Gray at the community center there.
Yes.
And I would just tell our listeners who haven't been voting, and I would like to talk about how to vote. But if you vote early, you can vote wherever you want. And so it's really easy, and it's usually less of a line than if you wait till the voting day. But some people love to vote on the voting day, and sort of the chaos of what could be the line or whatever is sort of part of the energy of it. But would you talk a little bit about how you vote, how you become registered to vote?
Yes, absolutely. So Texas, unfortunately, does not have online voter registration. And so you do have to register the good old-fashioned way, pen and paper, right? And so if you find a volunteer deputy registrar like myself at an event, we'll have a form that you can fill out. We go ahead and take that back to Harris County Elections. You know, they will go ahead and issue your voter registration card after processing that. So it's a pretty easy process. You can also download the form online from Harris County Elections. So it's harrisvotes.com. And you can go ahead and mail that to the County Elections Administration. They'll go ahead and process it for you. Same outcome. They'll give you your registration card. It's really super easy. It's about 9 questions. It's mostly just demographic information. You know, what is your name? Where do you live? You know, that kind of information. So super simple. And the deadline is actually coming up. It's going to be October 13th is the last day to register to vote in Texas. So we don't have too many days before then. So make sure that you register if you're not registered. But then voting, yes, if you're going to early vote, you can vote at any location across the county.
And the hours are really long.
Yes, it's usually 7 to 7. And then they do have extended hours on certain days.
And weekends.
Yes, and voting on weekends too. So you can go to church with your friends if that's something that you do, and then go vote right afterwards with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different opportunities to vote early and to make sure that you don't have to wait in lines. And if you do vote early, you can even look up the wait times expected on harrisvotes.com. And you can actually see in real time how many people are there, how long it's going to take you to vote. So it's really getting so easy to be able to vote and do it efficiently.
Mm. Yeah, and the county has done a good job too. We've seen some of these evolutions over the last couple of years about how they're trying to make it, no matter what the state says and the new loopholes and rules that get put in place, our Harris County folks are really focused on trying to make it as easy as possible within the parameters that the state legislature sets for them.
Right.
But that is a good thing, though. It breaks my heart because back in 2018, for example, we made the front page with the Houston History Bus of the New York Times above the fold. And my father, who lives in New York, called me and said, "Hey, son, you're like on the New York Times front page cover with the bus."
I didn't know that.
Yeah, 2018. And the only reason why we got on the cover is because everybody was covering Texas in 2018 because of the 2016 election and because of obviously the midterms. And what they didn't realize, and we broke records that year in 2018 because people were obviously motivated to go out there and vote for a change. And what ended up happening was all these reporters that came in, including the folks from New York Times and CNN and Fox News, we got on all these different media outlets with the bus because we're doing free rides to the polls. And free rides to the polls.
Good
okay?
for you.
Yeah, it was a really good program. But what that did was that everybody early voted. So on election day, when we were there, the news they had nothing to cover because the lines weren't as long as they were expecting.
Yeah.
Long
yeah.
lines wrapped around the building that you always get at West Gray, right?
Right.
They didn't get that footage that they needed. So the reporter just jumped on board the bus. He's like, "What are you guys doing?" "Well, we're going to the apartment complex to pick up some people because we were asked to do that. So we're going to pick up 10 people over there and 12 people over here. Let's go." And he said, "Well, can I join y'all?" So the New York Times reporter jumped on board the bus with the photographer. Yeah, it's really cool. I have it framed in my house. And
oh
it's
my
like
gosh.
Something that, yeah, because it just reminds me
you
of
have
the bus.
You to send me a picture of it.
I will. It's what I started the Houston History Bus for, to do good in the community. And I'm a VDR as well. And you can go out there, folks, anybody can go out there. You take a course, you sign.
What's a VDR?
Voter Deputy Registrar.
Yeah.
You're the person that's able to go out there and get people to sign up and get registered to vote. But what broke my heart was when we went to the apartment complex and we picked up, like, for example, 10 people, you had like 4 more people that wanted to get on board the bus and 2 more over there. They were like, "I'm ready to go vote." And we were like, "Oh, well, do you have your voter registration card? Like, do you have your, were you registered?" "What? I got to register?" And it's like, I'm here to vote. It's election day. And I'm like, it doesn't really work that way. You have to be registered. So I want people to listen out there. And even if you are by chance, I mean, you have a chance now to get registered, but if for some reason you don't think you can do it for this election, there's one in March. March, and there's one next November.
There's always an election.
Well, a lot of people register when they get their driver's license.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they let you know that you can do it then. And then I know younger people who like moved away from their parents' house, and then they never updated their address on their driver's license. And so for those, vote early, because it doesn't matter. You're registered. It doesn't matter what your current address, as long as you're in the system. But you got to get in the system. So I love to know that you can just do it online, and it's not scary.
Yeah, I would love to be able to do it online. Yeah, but unfortunately, Texas doesn't offer that. Mm-hmm. They don't offer voter registration online.
Well, you can what Austin's saying is that you can print the form online.
Yes, you can print the form. Yes, you can print the form online and submit that to Harris County Elections
in the mail.
Yes, in the mail. The good old fashioned way.
I'm amazed at the young people who don't go to the post office.
Yeah,
and I'll say, "What do you mean you don't go to the post office?" And they're like, "Never." And I say, "I go like more than once a week. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like that you don't need to go to the post office."
Some people don't go to the post office.
They don't know where to get stamps. They don't know if you can get them at the post office.
They don't need stamps, though.
Well, I guess what they're doing, they don't need stamps, but come
on.
Here's the thing. If you don't like the people who are in office and you don't like the legislation that's being passed, you have got to do something about it.
Right.
And the thing is older people, we vote. We love to vote. We never miss voting. We get up and we vote. And if I don't vote the way you vote, make sure you vote.
And bring a friend.
So you can bring a friend. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, make it a whole, family affair.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, tip the balance to where in the favor that you want, but you've got
to
be involved.
But I bet I do
involved.
Vote the way you vote.
Yeah. KPFT.
I am on KPFT.
We love our folks. No, but it really is important people do register, and I love the idea of you doing that. Well, what you didn't mention was a starring role that you have in Sweeney Todd in college.
Oh, yeah.
At Duke. So, and guess what's coming up, too, in a couple of days?
Yeah, they're doing a production of Sweeney at Tuts, and I'm so excited.
You didn't audition?
I thought about
too
it,
busy.
But yes.
Caucus president,
stuff at the county, other kind of volunteer stuff.
Are you going to sing something on the way out?
Oh, gosh. I maybe. I'll do it for my adoring fans.
I hope you will.
We got a maybe.
But coming back to Sweeney, though, yes, I did get the opportunity to play Sweeney when I was in college, and it was the role of a lifetime.
Yeah.
I worked so hard. I was in vocal lessons regularly for a few years and then really practiced it with my vocal coach. And honestly, it was one of the greatest pleasures of my lifetime. And so I'm so excited to see this production at Tuts. Mm-hmm. I hear it's going to be refreshed. It's going to be really fun. It's, just in time kind of for the Halloween season.
And they're producing it locally, which is they produce three shows locally and then they also present shows as well. So
right.
It's the first show that they're producing of the season.
Yes.
And they've got a lot of great things going on, including this. In July, I was in a workshop of the Ugly Sweater musical that Dan Connectus actually wrote, and it's just a great show. And you also partake in the Out at Tuts. Tell people about what Out at Tuts is all about. We had Regina Thorne-DuBois on the show a couple of months ago in June.
Yeah, so Out at Tuts is an annual LGBTQ night, or not annual, it's a every show.
Per show, yeah.
Yeah, per show. They do an LGBTQ night where they invite community members to come and have a really fun kind of pre-show. And then after the show, they do this really fun cabaret show with some of the performers from the production. They also have drag queens. The host of Out at Tuts is Regina Thorne-DuBois, who also has the Broadway.
Yes,
who also has the Broadway at Michael's Outpost every Monday night. Go see her. And it's just this really fun LGBTQ kind of celebration to be able to meet new people, see a really fun show at Tuts, and really just have a great night. So definitely I would recommend people look for the Out at Tuts nights for each production, because it really is such a fun show to attend.
Well, and we need to find out who wore it better, but who did it better, Johnny Depp or Austin Davis-Ruiz.
Oh, gosh.
So give us a little bit of Sweeney Todd. You offer. You gave us a maybe.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I'm trying to think of...
Because J.D. Dole would have been like, no.
Yeah.
With his arms crossed over his chest.
We love J.D. J.D., we love you.
I can do my friend's own.
Oh, get his book, by the way.
We're ready.
Brand new.
His book.
Yeah.
These are my friends. See how they glisten. See this one shine. How he smiles in the light. My friend, my faithful friend.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Awesome.
No warm up.
Yeah, nothing.
Not even a drink. Good for you.
Oh my goodness. Okay, there you
We're
go.
We're charmed.
Folks. That was just for you, Houston. Okay. Well, Austin, let people know where they can get a hold of you, maybe your social media handles, email address, something, a website, or the caucus information too.
So if you want to follow me on social media, my personal social media is first name Austin, middle initial D as in Davis, last name Ruiz, Austin D. Ruiz on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of that fun stuff. You can follow the caucus at The Caucus on Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter, we are HLGBTQ Caucus. I know it's a little bit of a mouthful. But really, the caucus is a nonpartisan LGBTQ civil rights organization. It's the oldest one in the South in the country. And we are really just dedicated to not just advancing LGBTQ rights, but really rights for everybody. So we certainly welcome people to join the organization to get plugged in with us and help us, you know, make this world a better place.
That's the idea. We're going to break Houston and come back for more of the Houston Hour on 90.1 KPFT.